my first picture up on the screen, can we? And whilst you're organising that, there it is. I want to ask you all, but particularly the young people, if there's anything in life that frightens you, or whether there are a number of things that frighten you. Have a think about that for a moment. You don't have to put your hand up and tell me. But you all know one thing that frightens me, don't you? Because I've talked about it a lot before. Peter. Snakes, that's right. Oh. Ah. This little boy's not afraid of snakes, is he? But I don't think that I would want to do that, but he's obviously confident enough and is willing to trust in the snake in order to lie in it as he is. How many of you have been on one of these? A number of you? Good. What's it called? It's called the pirate boat, isn't it? And I can see Naomi, even as I'm speaking, looking like this, thinking, I don't like that, because you went on it, didn't you, this year? And did you like it? No. Did it frighten you? It frightened you a lot. And I've been on one of these boats with you, actually, haven't I, Ben? And oh, no, you didn't go. It was your two brothers, that's right. And one brother liked it, but I know that the other brother didn't like it. And I'm not going to say which one it was, but I know that he was frightened. Some of you might be frightened by one or more of your teachers at school. It's great, isn't it, when all your teachers are lovely? And sometimes that is the case, but I can remember when I was at school and there were teachers that I and others were very much afraid of. What's that supposed to represent, do you think? Yes. The dark. I wonder how many of us here are afraid of the dark. When you're very little, sometimes you need a light on, don't you? At night. Okay, because you don't really like the dark. You're frightened of the dark. But I think even adults are frightened of the dark. And I can't say that I would want to walk through a wood at night on my own. I might find that to be just a little bit scary. But you know, one of the things I think that we are fearful of, whatever age we might be here tonight, is the unknown. The fear of the unknown. Now, I wonder whether any of you watch the programme or have watched the programme, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Have you watched that, some of you? Because there are different things that you have to do on this programme, and I'm going to try to do one of them here tonight. You may have been wondering what this is up the front. There are some things inside these holes, and I need three volunteers who are willing to put their hand in and tell me what's inside. All right, Harry, you're one volunteer. Charlotte, you're another. And Daniel, can I ask you as well? Come and stand up the front before you change your minds. That's great. Now, before you put your hands in, all right, I just want you to say that if you touch something, all right, that maybe feels a little bit warm or a little bit hairy or maybe a little bit slimy, all right, please, don't squeeze it too hard, all right? Okay. Right, who's going to go first? Would you like to do it in the order that you're in? If you two guys can just stand to one side just for a moment, and we'll ask you, shall we, to put your hand in there. Have a feel and tell me what you think is inside. It's a bit slimy, isn't it? Yeah. Any ideas as to what it might be, though? Not sure? Not sure? Do you want to take it out and you can have a look and then show it to everybody what's in there? All right? Do you know what it is? is a little lizard, all right, a little rubber lizard. We'll put him back in his box, shall we? And you can go and sit down. Thank you for your help. Who's next? Harry? Come on then, Harry. Hole number two. You've got quite big hands, so I hope that they can fit in there. But have a look in there and see what you can find.
It is Harry.
It is Harry, yeah.
It's a thing.
Any idea what it might be called? I don't know what it's called, but...
No.
Do you want to take it out and have a look? Okay. I don't know what they're called, but it's a little furry thing. Just show the folk over there so that they can see. Good stuff. Right, lovely. Pop it back inside. And Charlotte, are you feeling all right about this? Nice and brave? Okay, looking a bit nervous. Oh, don't hurt it.
It's horrible.
I'm glad you got that one. Oh. What do you think it might be?
Oh,
that's exactly right. Yes, well done. Pull it out and have a look. Oh, God, let me grab it. Some of you might not know what these are, but actually it's alien slime. If you've ever come across alien slime. Okay, no, there are two of them. I wasn't quite sure how that would work, but it did kind of make the point, particularly in Charlotte's case. It's the fear, isn't it, of the unknown. What might be there, but we're not really sure what is there. The Christians in Thessalonica were worried, anxious, and fearful about something in particular. You see, some of their friends and relations who were Christians had died. And they didn't really know quite what had happened to them. They didn't really know where they had gone. And they were a bit concerned as well as to whether they might miss out on the day when Jesus returns. They weren't sure whether they would actually get to experience the resurrection of the body that's spoken about in the Bible. And because of this, they were fearful, they were anxious, they were worried, they were concerned. Where had their loved ones who had died knowing Jesus gone? Were they okay? Would they miss out on the resurrection of the body? Would they be disadvantaged in any way? And their grief or their anxiety was all because of the unknown. And so, there was a need for them to know the truth. Now let's return to my box illustration over here. Now, I'm going to put the question to Charlotte. I hope that she doesn't mind. But Charlotte, along with the other two, what would have helped you to put your hand in the box? What would have taken away the fear? What would have taken away the anxiety? It's an obvious answer, really. Yes, what would you say, Naomi? If you knew what was inside. And the reason tonight I didn't ask Naomi was because she chose to put the things inside the box. So she would have known, and so her hand would have been straight in there, and she would have told you exactly what it was. But it's when you don't know that you're fearful, isn't it? But when you know the truth, well, it takes the fear and the worry and the anxiety away. Or at least that's the idea. Because if I told you three guys what was in there, you would still have had to trust my words, wouldn't you? There still may have been some anxiety as you put your hands into the box, but the truth should have removed the anxiety or the fear. It's interesting then, isn't it, what Paul says here in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. And if you've got a Bible in front of you, I would encourage you to pick it up, because we're going to be looking at some of these verses in just a little while. But here in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep." In other words, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who die. We want you to know the truth. We want you to be confident about what happens to people who die knowing the Lord Jesus and trusting in him. Let me ask some questions. What happens? Or what do people in the world today believe happens when people die? Well, I suppose we might get a number of responses in answer to that question. You might talk to people, and they will tell you that they believe that when people die, they just go somewhere nice. And they don't really know quite where that place that's nice is, but they just assume, they kind of hope that everybody who dies goes somewhere nice, and there's a party or whatever. But they don't really know. Some people, of course, don't believe that. Sorry, some people believe that nothing happens after death. You know, there are people who believe that you're born into this world, you live for a certain length of time, and then you die, and that's it. So when you die, it's like it being a dead end. And of course, there are other people who simply don't even want to think about it. They want to bury their head in the sand. They want to avoid asking the question. And I guess just hope that everything will be okay in the end. But here Paul says, doesn't he, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. You know, some people, when their loved ones or when their relations die, are very troubled because they don't really have any hope concerning them. And Paul says here, I don't want you to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. No, when your relations and your loved ones die, who know and love the Lord Jesus, I want you to be confident about where they have gone. I don't want you to be in the dark about these things. So where have they gone? And what would happen to them? Well, it may be that some of you have got a little bit of paper with a reading on it. And I want you to read that particular verse that I've given to you, if you will. And whoever has got 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14, will you stand up? That's great. And will you read it in a nice loud voice for us all, please? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. Okay, that verse that Naomi read to us tells us that when Jesus comes back again, he will bring with him all those who have trusted in him. Which really tells us, doesn't it, that those who have died trusting in Jesus have gone to be with Jesus. That's where they are now. They are with the Lord, which is a far better place to be than here upon the earth. But those people who have died trusting in Jesus and have gone to be with Jesus will one day, when Jesus returns, come back with him. Now, who's got 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. Ben, would you mind reading that out nice and loud for us, please? Thank you.
For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
Okay, that's great. Well, one day the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that Jesus is going to come back again. And that verse might lead us to believe that it's going to be quite a loud affair. A loud command will be given. The voice of the archangel will be heard. The trumpet call of God will be sounded. And right at the end there of verse 16 we read, "And the dead in Christ will rise first." You see, when people die, their bodies return to the ground, don't they? We bury people who have died. But one day the Bible says that those who have died will be raised, will be raised in bodily form. It's difficult, isn't it, to really understand how that can be so. But that's what God, who created this world out of nothing, tells us. That bodies will be raised. But their bodies won't be like the bodies they walked around on earth in. They'll be new. They'll be wonderful bodies, resurrected bodies. No longer subject to corruption and decay. And they'll be fit and ready to be with Jesus forever and ever. So one day Jesus is going to come back with those who have already gone to be with him. That is, their souls will come back with Jesus, and their souls will be reunited with their resurrected bodies. And they'll be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. But there's some more here. Verse 17. Who's got 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17? Charlotte, please. Thank you. Okay, Jesus is going to come back one day. We don't know when that day will be, but he's promised in his word that he will come back. And those who are still alive at his coming, they too will experience a bodily resurrection. Just stop for a minute and have a look at your bodies. I think we all recognize that the older we get, the less the body seems to work as well as we would like it to. But one day, the Bible teaches us that we're going to receive new bodies, glorified bodies. That's what will happen when Jesus returns. And we too will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we read, we will be with the Lord forever. Now Paul says here, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. I want you to know where Christians go. I want you to know what's going to happen to them in the future. I want you to have a hope concerning them. Now I know that most of you like sweets. Do you like sweets, Peter? Do you like sweets? Yeah? I thought you probably did. So I'm going to give out one or two sweets this evening. You can have one. And would any of you like one? Yeah, Harry, I'll give you one as you've nodded. That's great. Now, as I put those sweets down, immediately I sense one or two murmurings at the back. And the reason that there may be one or two murmurings at the back is because some of the children at this very point in time seem to be disadvantaged, don't they? So some have gained something where others have not gained something. Actually, sometimes on a Sunday when the person at the front is giving out sweets and not everybody gets one, what tends to happen after the service is that person goes and gives everybody a sweet who didn't get one during the service. Isn't that right? And the reason for that is because they want it to be fair. Okay, they don't want anybody to miss out. They want everybody to enjoy a sweet. Well, I want it to be fair. Okay, tonight, so if you didn't get one, you can have one. Would you like one, Ben?
Yep.
I thought so. Naomi. And Daniel. That's it. And James. There isn't anybody else, is there? No. Come on. You know, the folk in Thessalonica were concerned that their loved ones, their relatives who had died trusting in Jesus, might in some way miss out on the day when Jesus returned. They were concerned that they might miss out on the resurrection. But as we've looked at these verses tonight, we've seen, haven't we, that they would not miss out. And that every believer would share in this glorious resurrection and get to be with the Lord Jesus forever. What does Paul say in verse 18? Therefore, encourage each other with these words. We need to be encouraged, don't we, as Christians, to speak the truth into the lives of others. Sometimes people get discouraged and they get down. And one of the ways in which we can encourage others is to speak the truth into their lives. I've got one other question that I want to put up on the screen tonight, and it's this. How is it possible for everything to be okay? Now, who's this a picture of? Any ideas? It's not a picture of me, but what I would say tonight is that I have access to all sorts of pictures. In fact, it's easy for me to get hold of a picture of you without you realizing. Any ideas as to who this is? It's not Naomi. Peter. It's not you. No. Actually, it's not anybody in this room. It's just a random picture that I found on the internet. And so some of you can breathe a sigh of relief, all right? It's not you. I wonder whether some of you might have been embarrassed, though, if it had been a picture of you. Well, if you think it might be embarrassing to see a picture of yourself up on the screen, I can tell you that there's something I want to talk about now which would be far more embarrassing. This is a DVD. All right? You're getting worried already, aren't you? But there's no need to worry. But you would need to worry if what I'm about to say could actually become a reality. You see, I want you to imagine that the record of your life, all right, is on this DVD. Every word that you've ever spoken, every deed that you've ever done, every thought that you have conceived in your mind, it's on this DVD, all right? Shall we put it in and play the DVD? Some of you are nodding, but I don't think really you want us to watch it. There might be some things on this DVD that you would like us to watch. Perhaps the last game of cricket you played. Or maybe some achievement in life. But actually, there would be so much on this DVD that you wouldn't want anybody to see because you'd be ashamed of it. The sins, you see, that you have committed. The things that you have done. That you just hope that no one will ever find out. It would be very embarrassing if we were to play it tonight. But you know, there is someone in the universe who has watched the DVD. There's someone who has considered every single detail. There's someone in the universe who knows about every deed and every word and even every thought. Who am I thinking about? Naomi. You're thinking about Jesus. I'm thinking about God. Do you remember the verse that we had in our quiz? The wages of sin is what? The wages of sin is death. Because of our sin, it means eternal separation from God. It means no heaven. It means no resurrection. It means no fellowship with Jesus forever. That's how serious our sin is. But there's good news, isn't there, to be found in the Bible. And the good news is that Jesus Christ came into our world and he died on a cross. And having died on the cross and paid the price for sin, he rose again from the dead. So that we who trust in him might not die, but have everlasting life. Indeed, get to enjoy all the wonderful blessings that Paul makes reference to here in 1 Thessalonians. I want you to notice verse 14, if you will, of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4, where it says, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep." It's because Jesus died and rose again that people get to go to be with Jesus when they die and get to come back with Jesus and experience a resurrection and an eternity with him. Look at verse 10 as well, will you please, of chapter 5, where we read, "He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him." I want to say two things as I conclude tonight. And the first thing is this. So this is a word for those of you here tonight who are Christians. This is a really important book. In fact, there's no other book like it in the world. And I want to encourage you to read this book and to study this book as much as you possibly can. In fact, I want to encourage you to take every opportunity that is given to you to get this truth, as it were, into your minds. Because if you do, it will save you lots of worry. It will save you lots of anxiety. It will take away all kinds of fears. Do you remember what Paul said in verse 13? "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." Don't want you to be ignorant, because I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to be anxious. I don't want you to be fearful. I want you to know the truth. And so I would encourage you to read and to study God's word at every opportunity given to you. But I want to finish tonight by saying this, that if you're not a Christian here tonight, it's very sad, really, but I can't say that all these wonderful things that we've talked about tonight will be true for you. You don't have that certain hope of the resurrection of the body or of spending eternity with Jesus. In fact, the contrary would be true for you. But having said that, I do want to say that there is hope for you. I do want to say tonight that there is the opportunity for you to trust in Jesus Christ and receive him as your Lord and as your Saviour. And if you come to Jesus, and if you trust in him, and you ask him to deal with your sins, well, he won't turn you away. He'll be so pleased that you have come to him. And he will become your Lord, and he will become your Saviour. And these wonderful truths that Paul has made reference tonight are truths that will apply to you. You can have that certain hope of going to be with Jesus when you die and experiencing a glorious resurrection of the body and spending an eternity with him in a renewed universe. It's worth trusting in Jesus, isn't it? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. And sometimes we confess that we don't understand everything that we read. But Lord, there are nevertheless wonderful truths that we want to hold on to. And we pray that, Lord, as we know your truth, that we may find comfort, particularly in times of sadness, but also regarding those things that we cannot see and lie in the future. Lord, we thank you as Christians that we have that certain hope of what lies beyond the grave. And we know that all is well with our souls because of Jesus' death and resurrection and our trust in him. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us tonight. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.